Anything else?
Need some help in prayer this morning. Brother Cook, would you pray for this service?
Father, here we come. We're your children and your students, and we seek to learn your ways. We love your ways, oh God. Help us to be faithful, to keep our eyes on you, Lord, not to depend on the world for our happiness. Oh God, we love you. We just want to tell you that again. So the preacher comes to the pulpit, Lord, and there's some great things that we can learn. And Lord, thank you that we can avoid so much damage to ourselves by just listening to you and following you. Bless us, God, as we listen. Bless the preachers who preaches, and we ask it in the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Brother Pasquarella, would you pray?
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, with thankful hearts that we have your true word. We have a pastor that preaches it. We just pray, Lord, now that you prepare our hearts for what you have for us. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen.
And finally, Brother Combus, would you pray? Amen. Folks, turn to Genesis chapter 2 if you would. For those of you who have borrowed my schedule, my wife uses part of my schedule. Being an apostate, she's changed it some. But, you know, we start reading the Bible through again on December 1st and wrap it up on May 31st. That way we get through it twice a year. And it's just the way, everybody has to read the Bible differently.
Right.
Now let me tell you this first of all. If how you're reading the Bible isn't working, stop.
Right.
Find a way that works.
Right.
Okay? Don't feel that you're trapped into something that I vow to God I read this way or whatever. If it's not working, find a way that works. Okay?
Right.
Number two. If in your reading, suddenly it doesn't do anything for you. You're reading and you don't have a clue what you read at the time it's over. Join the crowd. I've never met a person that doesn't go through a time like that in their Bible reading. Okay? There's only one way out of that, and that's to push through and make yourself read every day anyway, and it comes back alive. Okay? What the devil's trying to do is get you to stop reading because then it never comes back alive.
Right.
Okay? So I'll have times I'll tell my eyeballs, all right, you stupid eyeballs, you're going to look at each of these words. All right? You know, and all of a sudden, the words start meaning something again. And that's always a blessing. Okay? So make sure you do that. But in my reading in Genesis, and again, I've been saved now, next month it'll be 40 years. But I've been reading the King James Bible for about 42 years, preaching for about 42 years, saved for about almost 40. And as I read Genesis 2, one of those marvelous things that God does, he just showed me a verse I've read all those times differently. Okay? As Elihu told Job, there's a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty doth give them understanding. In other words, God in-breathing. Inspiration is an in-breath. God in-breathing inside you, right? Gives you understanding. And sometimes, you know, it's when you're reading, it's like something highlights that verse. I've been reading it all the time, so it's highlighted. There it is. So we're going to look at that verse. So Genesis chapter 2, let's go to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now just stop and think of this. Think of God who made everything. And think of all the good things that grow on trees. And I can't even begin to imagine what the Garden of Eden would have looked like. And to have God put his arm around your shoulder and say, by the way, you can eat all of this freely. It's just yours, right? Now, when we go down there to Blaine, for those meetings a couple times a year now, they usually rent a big house for us. The Mennonites, there's a big hunting community, so they'll build these big houses. They're beautiful, and you get your own bedroom and the kitchen and everything. But there's a couple closets on it that'll say private. Why? Because the people just, they got some of the householder stuff in there, and they don't want you to go over there. But when you get in the house, they tell you, look, the house is yours, have the run of it and everything else. But everybody has sense that with every great gift or anything else comes responsibility. And so God said, but. Okay. And here's what he said. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay. And we've talked about that before. When Adam died, 900 years later, but yet God said, the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. Why? Because death in the Bible is never oblivion. You don't exist anymore. Death is separation. You become separated from your spirit. Your spirit becomes separated from your body. You're dead. Okay? One day you might be in a hospital, a little flatline. Your spirit leaves that body. You're separated from that body. You're physically dead. Adam became separate from God. That's a tragic death. That's what's called spiritual death, okay? And the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam ate thereof and became separate from God. Adam, where art thou? Okay? Adam's hiding from God. That's the nature of man now. That's how we've been born. But what I wanted you to see is how God showed Adam everything that he can have. It's interesting because Pastor Hain last Sunday preached on what do I have for being with God? What do I have for being a Christian? What's God giving me? Okay. And all too often, and you know, I'm a huge critic of how soul winning's done in the United States because A, churches don't have converts anymore. It's a pretty good indication it's not working. But regardless of that, people all go, well, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, who doesn't? The Muslims offer that, the Buddhists offer that, the Shintoists offer that, everybody offers that, and everybody's got their trick how to get there, some prayer you can pray to get there, whatever else. But the whole idea is that God, in the bowels of Jesus Christ, has so much good to give man.
Yes,
I do remember. I never shall forget the day that Jesus took my sins away. And I won't forget that day. It was just a 1238 Bluff Road, Columbia, South Carolina. Went into work on a day there was an ice storm. All right? And just being a dumb Yankee, I didn't know you didn't go to work during ice storms. All right? We have them in July around here. I mean, you don't even think about it. All right? Down there, you know, the snowflake and people are hiding in their cellars and making the sign of the cross and all that kind of stuff. But I went to work, and there was no one there, and God finally met with me. Okay? Why did I always tremble when hard preaching went on? Why couldn't I? I'd prayed the Romans Road 100,000 times, all right? And it wouldn't do anything for me. And then God swept in, all right? Showed me the baseness of myself. Showed me why I was such a fraud. Made me to understand what his problem with me was. And it was so ugly in my eyes. Oh, it was just awful to see myself as he saw me. But the cross became open to me.
Yes.
The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And for the first time in my life, I heard and I said, come. And he came. Kyle Beal said this. He talked about, somebody asked to give a testimony, and he just said, I was given that peace that I still have not found words to describe.
Amen.
And I thought maybe those are the best words ever to describe.
Good.
Right? All right? And so I entered into this bliss of Jesus Christ. And it's not a head knowledge, though there's a head knowledge that goes with it. But it was this comfort to my heart, this oneness with Jesus Christ, for the first time in my life since my conscience awakened as a child, it wasn't against me anymore. Okay? And suddenly I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now God stretched forth to Adam and showed him all these good things that he had given him. That's how God showed it to him. Now I want you to watch the devil talk about it. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Mm-hmm. You notice when God said it, God said, you can freely eat of all this. It's all yours. The devil looked for the little kink in that. And showed it to him from the other side, which you can't have. See that? They both said the same thing, but each from a different side of the fence. Okay? The devil came over here and said, you can't eat all that. It's not all yours. What is this saying it's all yours? Okay? Didn't God say, thou mayest not freely eat of it all? God said, thou mayest freely eat of it all, but, okay? God showed it from a positive, good standpoint. Well, I'll tell you why. Wouldn't we, Joel Osteen, love that, all right? That's a positive thing, all right? But it was a positive thing. It's a good thing. All things in Christ are yay, all right?
Amen.
It's a glorious thing. But the devil comes up and shows them what you can't have.
Right.
Cliff Taylor talked about getting saved down there in North Carolina when he was in the Air Force. He talks about, you know, he grew up over here in Eldridge, a farm boy, hunting family, poor family, had to live off the deer and the bear and different things they would get. And finally he's in the Air Force and he's got a young wife and a couple of daughters, and he destroys them through alcohol and drugs. And I remember those early days, you know, in the Air Force back then, they couldn't test you for marijuana. You didn't have an effective test for that. And so you'd get away with it, and everybody drank. And it finally came to the point his wife and daughter just left him. They're gone. And he's just in a stupor. And the Air Force has a wonderful program. They really have, okay? Stephen partook of this at one point. But you can walk up to your commander and tell him, I have an addiction, okay? And if the Air Force considers you somebody worth keeping, they'll go to great lengths to see to it that you're cured of that. They'll go to great lengths if you're somebody worth keeping. And they came to him and put him under house arrest for his own good, that he had to stay there until you sober up, okay? Because you're a great worker. And of course, he's just drinking and smoking dope in there, whatever else, but a church had been taking his little children and on a bus ministry, and a man out of Pastor Haynes' church, Kenny Bell, had witnessed him one time as a child, or as a young man, and put that thought in his heart or whatever, and he'd visited this church, and he talked about sitting in a mall and until they came and kicked him out because they were closing and going home. But that night, God delivered him. Made him free. Made him free. And going to church the next morning, a free man.
Yeah.
And he said, the pastor said, we're having church tonight. He says, you mean I get to come back and do this again?
Right.
What difference in how we look at church? Okay. You mean I get to come back and do this again? All right. And when you begin to see the things that God has freely given, you know, when you watch the cartoon Cinderella's and Sleeping Beauty's and all that, there's usually a point where the heroine is walking through the forest and little blue jays are, you know, following behind her, and she's doing chores in the house, and squirrels are using their tails and dusting, and everybody's singing, and it's all wonderful and things of that sort. And they're trying to show you an idyllic, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want just a happy life? Pastor didn't talk about that. I always wanted a happy life. The problem is I couldn't distinguish between happiness and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And I had pleasures that kept destroying my happiness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you go ahead and, back in the 70s, they used to have a big poster, and everybody would have it on their wall, and it would show a guy, and his face is just melting down like this, and he's got a joint in his head, says stoned again. It shows his brains, like, flowing out of his ears, and, you know, stoned again, and I don't know how many times I'd find myself in that position. No. Miserable again. I had some pleasure for a while, but now it's miserable. Miserable. I'm hating my life. Okay? I remember one time sitting on a wall looking down about 3 stories and thinking to myself, you know, if I could just slip forward, I'd probably just sit and watch my body hit the bottom. And I remember thinking, yeah, you're on drugs, don't do it. But regardless of that, there's just that idea, you just want to get it over with. It's awful, it's a terrible thing. What an awful life. You know what God gave to me? A, cleanse my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What a wonderful thing that he did that, okay? For the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has shined forth in our hearts. And to, all right, and I'm just saying, what a wonderful, and for the first time in my life, my conscience wasn't condemning me, okay? It wasn't doing that anymore, and there was some, the voices, the screen, and my ears had shut up, and I remember just sitting there realizing, and that's why that song verse, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, okay?
Amen.
I used to look at Christianity from the standpoint of what I couldn't do. Okay? These things prohibited to me. And let me tell you something. I used to try to walk in those things. I told you, I was preaching for 2 years before I got saved. And I remember when I finally put the beer down. Stopped the fornicating. I remember the last time I got high, looking in the mirror, hating what I looked like. You know, my face was all red, blotchy, and in those days, I had tow-headed, just as blonde as could be when I'd get out in the sun, and it just looked horrible. And I remember just being so ashamed and just couldn't wait till I came off of it. But the thing is, you just thought to yourself, how can I live this way? And you worked with all your heart to keep it there and make it happen. And then God stepped in.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay? And suddenly that life wasn't a drudgery to me, it was a joy to me. Oh my goodness, God took those things away from me. He took the desire for them away. He made it wonderful to want to live that way. He made it happy to want to live that way. And suddenly these things are real in my life and it's part of my life and I began to learn to walk this life. But what's the devil do? He comes up and shows you from the other side. Well, you can't do that. Isn't it awful what God won't let you do? Isn't that a terrible thing? Go with me to Genesis 3, verse 22. We'll skip down to the verse. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Isn't this fascinating? Thou mayest freely eat of all the trees. And they never ate of the tree of life.
Right.
They never tasted of it. It was there for them. They never tasted of it. Number of reasons. Number one, they felt no need. No desire. You know, every once in a while, you'll get a craving for some food. Often, that's because you have a vitamin lack of some kind, and your body knows it's there. You get a craving for it. If you're You know, if you're the average person today and you're living off of microwaves and McDonald's or whatever else, your body's probably dead and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, cravings often indicate a need for certain things in your life, okay? And they just never had a craving for that. Why? Because they're alive. They don't need it. But you know what the Lord God said? They become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, evil in your Bible is not synonymous with sin. God said, I, the Lord, create evil. Okay? You know, sometimes a hurricane is described as evil. Okay? Enemies attacking is described as an evil happening to the nation. Why is it happening? Because God told the heaven to go in there and kick their butt. All right? I've warned them about this stuff. They wouldn't listen. Send it in there. I, the Lord, create evil. Okay? There's a time when he gets all these spirits are in heaven. He says, hey, which one of you go down and lie to Ahab? Okay? I, the Lord, create evil. I sent him down there. I don't know why the spirit in love with all your prophets. Ezekiel chapter 14 says, if the prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, deceive that prophet. Okay? And so these things happen. But the thing is, Adam and Eve had no part of that. They lived somewhere where they never saw the things that could go wrong and the awful things that could happen. In some ways, it parallels childhood. When children have innocence, that's a rare thing left in America anymore, children with innocence. It's a rare thing. By the time children are 2 or 3 years old today, they have seen things that no child should have ever seen. They've watched mom and dad fight. They've watched drunken stupors. They've watched sexual things. They've had things done to them that never should have happened. Right. Never in a million years should that ever been done in front of that child. Never should that child have been exposed to it. Up until then, that child didn't know good and evil. Okay? All he'd ever known is good as his parents, and if evil came, his parents were there and took that upon themselves or whatever else, and suddenly they know it themselves. It's part of the confusion of America today. Okay? Is that stripping away of innocence of children far before God had ever intended such innocence to ever be taken from children. Okay? Far before that. And now Adam and Eve, they don't just know the goodness of God. They're toiling now. Toiling by the sweat of their face, okay? To make things grow and to make things happen. And they see how evil happens and how terrible life is, okay? You know what God wants to do? God wants to wrap you in the arms of his love. Okay? I'm going to use a strange analogy. I've used it a few times before, but I always remember when Ruth Ann was pregnant with our firstborn and we spent some time with the family over a weekend. Never seen this family again, but they had 8 children. Okay, one of those fanatics. Right? And they had 8 children, and my wife just asked the question, young mothers want to know that in between bottle feeding and breastfeeding and things of that sort. Here's what the woman said. She said, you know, I tried to breastfeed all my children, but sometimes because of one thing or another, a few of them I had to bottle feed. And she said, both of them thrived. They both did well. She said, but I'll tell you a difference. She said, the ones that we ended up bottle feeding and the ones we breastfed, both of them, when the flu would come through or sickness or something, they'd get it. But that one that was breastfed would get over it so much more quickly. So that one bottle fed, it would cling and cling and cling and hold on to them. So that's my observation. We have that same observation, okay? We've had 8 children, been in that fanatic camp, all right? And but not super fanatic like 9, all right? But, all right. But you want to know something? Those that drink of the pure milk of the Word of God, you know evil happens in your life.
Yeah.
Bad things happen.
Yeah.
But you know what I've watched? You get over it far sooner. Far sooner. Far sooner. Those terrible things happen, things that would crush people, tear the heart out of a lion, destroy people. I watch them happen to people that are one with God and have that walk with God, know the goodness of God and walk in His life. Well, I'll tell you what, it washes over a lot more quickly.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to end up in Romans chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Go to verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And again, you know, when I was a kid, we used to play with those Play-Doh Fun Factory Juniors. I don't know if they still have those or not, but you take a big lump of Play-Doh and you'd have a thing to squeeze it and it would come out of a tube and you could put various things in front of that tube so it could all hurt you. Okay? You put something in there, it came out with circles and different shapes and that looked like a flower when it came to be squeezed through there and everything else. Sin is that big lump of Play-Doh that has no form. You have no idea what it is, it's just that big lump. And then the law came along. As sin squeezes to that, suddenly you know what lust is. Suddenly you know what hatred is. Suddenly you know what murder is. You know that. It begins to take a form. Okay? The Apostle Paul said, I would have never known sin. What do you mean never known sin? Okay? He's a man who's been serving God all his life through the strength of the flesh. And he says that. He tells you that. By what the flesh could give, this is what he does. And it blinded him to what he was on the inward parts. He never saw what he was on the inward parts, okay? Until the law finally said, thou shalt not covet, and suddenly he knows what lust is. Right. And again, if he is not the rich young ruler, he is the identical brother to the rich young ruler. Okay? That rich young, Paul was a ruler. He's rich. Okay? And when that rich young ruler walked away from Jesus Christ did something you'll never see anywhere else in the Bible, and he loved him.
Yes.
Okay? Has there ever been anybody loved like the Apostle Paul? Where Jesus Christ left heaven and came down and sought to it that man was converted. And he said, oh, but it's hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Hard for thee, all the things you've heard. When you were told to go sell everything you have, they couldn't because he's covetous. Okay? What was the problem with the Jew? Okay? Let's kill the son. We can have everything. All right? We'll kill him. We'll not pay our... We'll kill him and have it all. What's the problem with the Jew? Covet. Paul said, if the law had not said thou shalt not covet, I wouldn't even know what sin was.
Yes.
But now it's penetrated. It's broken through. It's gotten through every guard I have. It's broken through all the things that I've done right, the things of my flesh. And suddenly I can see what's wrong with me. You know what? The tree of life is now open to him. The cross is open to him. It's there for him. It's never been open for him before. But now he's got that need and that desire. Pastor Payne?